Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my brother in humidity, Jack Barry.
I don't know if I should say brother in heat. That sounds a little bit risque.
I'm good. So. No, it is hot. It is hot. Jack, we're back in the saddle. Let's address the elephant in the room. You jilted me for 2 weeks straight. No, that's not true. That's called gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that's called. The first week, you know, it's been a minute. I got to get all the angst out, you know. I got to get all the jokes out now. It's been a crazy couple weeks, Jack. First week, our schedules were absolutely nuts. I had a church camp that I was serving at. I was preaching that week, plus work and then counsel. It was nuts. And then last week, the week of the 4th.
Yeah.
Right. You had a sick family member that you had to take care of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so my your wife duty, was out.
You know what? As much as I hate to admit it, your duty as a husband and father does come before this podcast.
I got a one-year-old, Josh. I officially have a one-year-old
Saturday. Yeah. He's all grown up. Look at – baby's all grown up, man. Look at him. Yeah. 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 As much – you know, I've had to do some work in my heart. You know, with, you know, the whole priorities, you know, managing priorities. But, you know, I've come to the realization that, you know, you're right. You got to take care of your wife and your kid. I get it. All jokes. But we are back in the saddle, my friend. We're here. It's warm. It's probably at least 70. It's got to be close to 80 in this place where I'm at right now. We moved apartments. Oh, that was the other thing. I forgot. That was the other thing in that week.
Yeah, this ain't all
everything,
my fault.
Dude, that was the other thing in that hell week. It was crucible, right? We moved to a cheaper place. I know we just moved. Everyone's like, wow, you guys move a lot. I get it. But we're actually closer to church, paying less. It was a better arrangement. It was kind of a do it now and or not at all, and we decided to do it. So
yeah.
But I'm up here. I'm hydrating. We're good. It's gonna drop back down to reasonable temps here in a little bit. But Jack, we're sounding like old men talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Let's get out of this. Let's get to our topic. But Jack, we have a little bit of business first. And even before your business, I've got a little bit of business, because we have another individual that just joined the Patreon.
Oh yeah,
that's right. And we need to do our duty. And and fulfill our vow, my friend, to you know what, this individual, right? Mm-hmm. We are hallowed the name.
Hallowing
the name of Reformed Samurai. That's right.
Wow.
That's
wow.
The name. Wow. Reformed Samurai. Okay. All right. For Reformed Samurai, you know who you are. All right.
They can kiss. They can kiss up to us and change the name to Reform Samurai Jack, maybe, and just be
Reform Samurai Jack. I like this.
Did you watch that on Cartoon Network before? Samurai Jack.
Yeah,
premium
was good.
Premium cartoon, dude.
Okay,
it was a little bit more adult for kids in this day. But let's be honest, like if you're a millennial, like everything was more adult in your day.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Well, Reform Samurai has chosen to join the ranks of the Podluck. They showed up. They didn't just bring Oreos or chips. They brought that big old casserole. And it smells delicious. And they joined up. And my friends, you too can join Reformed Samurai in coming alongside the Reformatory with a $5 holla. That's it. And just as we have done for Reformed Samurai, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. Reformed Samurai, thank you for joining the Podluck, coming alongside and joining the most exclusive club in podcasting. You know who you are. We thank you. And now, Jack, that's enough of the business. Why don't you please give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week. What do you got for us?
This is the new business.
New month, new stick.
New business. Okay, so we got to go back a little bit. So I got to make up for June. For June is for Jalapa.
That's right.
We're going to talk about a cigar there, and then we're going into July. July, people, is for Jack's favorites.
Look at this.
These are the hallowed cigars of what I've been, what I usually will smoke or go-tos that I will smoke. And I will say pretty much, I talked to Josh about, I think I talked about this on the Podluck as well, too. I kind of sneak peeked it.
Yes,
I said, basically, the favorites, and they're not going to be in any kind of like ranked order. I'm just going to tell you what I like to smoke. They're pretty much represented by three boutique brands.
That's right.
So this will be pretty good. But anyway, to kind of go back in time a little bit and talk about the final Junis for Jalapa cigar. This one is a doozy. Okay. So most of you know, I get my ratings sometimes off of a combination of Cigar Aficionado and Half Wheel. Mm-hmm. Half Wheel, Josh and I know this. And if you're a longtime listener, you'll know that Half Wheel, if you go on that website, they are they're snooty. Schnoops. They are snobby.
They are.
About their cigar ratings.
It's true.
And I try and go on there because at least they give me some good breakdowns and stats. But in any case... so the final cigar for June for Jalapa is the Nika Ristica, Adobe. So there's two versions of this. Josh, if you follow Josh on social media, he smoked a Nika Ristica, as of what, a week or two ago?
Last Wednesday at our elders meeting. Yep.
So this is a new version of that original blend. And this came out in 2022, a couple years ago. If you follow the cigar world, I followed it. It looked interesting, and I know I've tried it about at least five times since. And it's really, I would say for a Drew Estate, for it not being boutique, it's a good go-to, primarily because of two things. One is the taste, and we'll talk about the other. But the breakdown of it is... it's a Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. The binder is Brazilian. And the filler is Jalapa Nicaraguan tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the so I'm talking about the Robusto primarily. Some people call it the Robusto Extra. Okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. They'd just be an extra.
Yeah. So this is going to give you some, it's not a full-on pepper bomb. But it does give you some interesting flavors. Mm-hmm. You're going to get some black pepper, some white pepper from time to time. You're going to get some, not full on intensity, but you're going to get like some apple cider kind of vibes here and there. Some leather, some barnyard kind of stuff with some.
It's gonna taste like your grandma's spice cabinet. Is what it's
kind
of.
It's gonna kind of taste like if you're eating like a baked apple with chocolate milk, almost. If that's the best way that I can describe it, maybe. But there's just a lot of like people were saying they were like cold drawing like blueberry muffins. Dude, okay, this is crazy. Some people's like nasal factory cannot pick up those scents, but whatever. Yeah. If y'all can pick up on blueberry muffins off your cold draw, your cigar, more will to you.
I mean, yeah, you're a better taster than I am.
Okay. So, they rated.
Is it warm or a cold blueberry muffin? Like let's not just stop there. Right. Like how old is it? Is it on the day old shelf?
Yeah,
right?
they don't go into that.
What
they gave
of blueberries.
They gave this an 89.
All right,
and then that's good. First of all, that's really good, especially because there's a guy named Charlie Minato that is rating him, and he is like the absolute staunch of staunchers when it comes to scores, and they basically said like this is like a near home run. Mm-hmm. So that is probably going to reflect a lot. But Josh, I always go to you for this. What do you think the MSRP is on this bad boy?
I'm going with $9.75. Nico Ristica.
You were shooting too high, sir.
Yeah. See, I thought, I knew it was a good deal. And that's why I went with the 975, but it's lower than that.
Okay, this is about as much as a membership into the Podluck. This is like
$5 to $6. See, I can attest for a $5 to $6 stick, the Nico Ristica is a fantastic smoke for the money.
Yeah, yeah. So good. That is the finale. To June. Yeah. So that's a wrap on June is for Jalapa.
Okay.
We're going into July.
We gotta speed this up because Ed's gonna get mad. Ed skips everything. He skips the cigar reviews. And we're already at 10 minutes. You know what? Part of me wants to just make the entire Epa cigar review just so to see him keep skipping until the end and then realize he's just skipped the whole Epa. Okay. But you know what? The best part about this, he's not going to hear what I just said because he skips this part. So, Jack, please continue.
Okay. So, July is for
someone
Jack's...
tag him. Someone tag him on Twitter.
July is for Jack's favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. This perfectly coincided with actually the sermon series that we're starting to do for the summer at my local church. So, we're going into 2 Samuel. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the gospel according to David. This is actually the second summer that we've done this series. We did the first summer last year was actually 1 Samuel, and now we're going into 2 Samuel. So this cigar, if that gave anything away, it should be that, this cigar is linked to some sort of biblical character in either 1 or 2 Samuel. Yeah, you're right. It is the David by Tabernacle, people. We are starting off strong. We're starting off with a classic, like a new classic, I feel like. I feel like Foundation is probably like one of the top 5 cigar brands that I go to for cigars. And this is like, so there is a David and then there is a Goliath. So basically, there's basically 2 versions to this cigar, kind of. But this is the wrapper is Connecticut Broadleaf. The binder is San Andreas, Mexico San Andreas, and the fillers are Honduran and Nicaraguan.
Yeah.
And this is a Puro. So this is a Perfecto, excuse me, of, it's a 5x54. So it's not that too terribly like big as far as the smoke goes. But man, this is like a lot of coffee earthiness, like some balanced pepper in there, some sweetness in there as well too. It's like this good kind of balance between sweet and savory at times. And this got a 92 on Half Wheel.
Yeah,
so this is up there. So this is up there as far as that goes. Okay. So I'm going to go with Josh again. What's your MSRP on this bad boy?
On the David, the MSRP is right around $12.
Yes, you nailed it.
Yep.
You nailed it.
And yes, I knew that because I have bought many of them.
So I'm
still counting it as a win, though. It's still a win for me.
Even though your MSRP is a little bit higher than just what I said about the Nika Rustica, mm-hmm. You're still getting a lot of good tobacco for a lot of, a little bit more, double that money, but seriously, like, you're getting like double the flavors and experience from that cigar. But yeah, 100%. That is definitely one of my favorites from the last, that release, let me check the release date on it. It came out within the last couple years. So it came out in 2020.
It was a 2020 stick.
So,
which made COVID all worth it.
Oh, that's true. So that was a 2026. So for the last 4 years, that's been doing me like a solid. So get you a David from Tabernacle for July and start lighting up, people.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
All right. Now Ed can cease with the skipping.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. He's I'm gonna get a text from Ed, be like, really? 15 minutes in? Are you kidding me? Well, okay, Ed. Well, it kind of goes with the topic, okay, man? So chill, okay? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week. Well done, Jack, as always. And you, ladies and gentlemen, you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So we have a fun topic today, all right? And it kind of goes with our cigar reviews and things like that. We're going to revisit a topic that I think we've talked about before, but it's something that I think bears bringing back into discussion. Mm-hmm. And that is Christian liberty, or the liberty of conscience, if you will, right?
Yeah.
When we go through this Christian life, right, everyone has a conscience that is informed, or should be informed by the authority of Scripture, given to them by God. Scripture is their authority, but that doesn't mean that we are clones of each other. People are going to have different convictions on different things. And the question is often brought up, how do we interact with Christians that we have disagreements with when it comes to convictions? Okay. This has been on my mind a lot because I'm starting this week a 5-week sermon series for our church, and one of the topics in there, the overarching title is Thinking Biblically, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through 5 big topics that every Christian faces to one degree or another while we're here on earth. So we're doing things like thinking biblically about anxiety, thinking biblically about contentment, thinking biblically about the mundaneness of life. And then one of them is thinking biblically about Christian liberty.
Yeah.
And this is an important topic because I think you have two sides of the ditch when it comes to Christian liberty that I think a lot of people fall into, sometimes even without even meaning to. You have the antinomian side of the ditch, where the Christian liberty is basically, because I am free in Christ and he has bought and paid for my sins, I can do whatever I want. I'm under grace. I'm under Christ. There's no rules. I'm just going to live this life how I want to live it and let grace cover over, right? That would obviously go against what the Apostle Paul says, right? When he says, do we sin that grace may abound? No, right? Just because you know that your sin has been covered by Christ, that does not give you credence or motivation to sin. It should actually motivate you to do the opposite and actually live a life that emulates Christ, right? So that's one side of the ditch. The other side of the ditch that we have to be careful of is legalism, right? And I make a slight... distinction between legalism and Phariseeism because I think they manifest themselves differently.
Yeah.
Now I'm no seminary prof, but how I have defined legalism, how it's been taught to me is basically, within the term legalism, you have the law, right? Mm-hmm. It's living according to the law as the means and as the source of your justification. It's trusting in your works, basically, to be seen as holy before the eyes of God, right? Phariseeism is slightly different in that what the Pharisees did is they knew they didn't want to break the law. So what they did instead was they built fences, right? They built fences around the law so that let's not even deal with the law itself. Let's not even get close to it, right? So let's remove all of the things in our life that would even cause us to walk down the street of breaking that law, right?
Yeah.
And let's avoid it all completely. So legalism and Phariseeism, I think, are kind of two sides of the same coin, if I'm going to be honest, but I do think they manifest themselves differently, right? But those are kind of the two sides, the two ditches, if you will, of Christian liberty. And I think it's an important topic to talk about, Jack, because like it's something that we deal with all the time in our local churches, especially in the Reformed world, where the liberty of conscience, I would say, is a little bit more obvious than perhaps other denominations in Christianity, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, and to that, to the Phariseeism and legalism too, I think the Phariseeism, you kind of want to do your own thing as far as putting fences around things. And legalism, I think, is more along the lines of like legalism. This is how I view legalism. So my in-laws are pretty staunch fundamentalists.
Mm.
And it was evident in my son's first birthday where I didn't take off my hat, my baseball cap, to pray. And my wife's stepdad came after me. Dude, just like my wedding, like Josh got assault. Although this one, it was a little bit more easing, but like he was like talking about in broken English how you should take off your hat because the Bible says so when you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm holding my 1 year old. It was a little bit difficult to take off my hat and do that. But in any case, I would say that's more legalism because you're trying to you're hyper focusing on Christ, like somehow going to the movies is gonna like help you lose your salvation or something like that. That's what it always comes down to is like, do you want to be in a movie theater when Jesus comes back? It's like, I mean, that's not a bad way to go, I guess. But legalism is weird. But yeah, liberty of the conscience. So I want to point to a resource that I think it was Jimmy and Joe who made this website, the 1689confession.com.
Dude, I was here too. Go for it.
It was an oldie. It's an oldie. It's a throwback.
It's a throwback. Yep.
Chapter 21.
To be fair, Jimmy and Joe didn't make the 1689.
Yeah.
Okay. They made a website. they made a nice website where you can click on the different chapters. Let's be clear.
I'm trying to be heretics here. That's right. So chapter 21, there's three paragraphs on of Christian liberty and liberty of conscience. There is a I'm just going to try and read the first paragraph because there's two other subsequent paragraphs that I think help on that. But there are footnotes to show you where in scripture you should look to on liberty of conscience. And so if you want to go to these, the 1689confession.com, and then go to chapter 21, there's three paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
And the first paragraph I'm going to talk about, there's at least 10 references to scripture that they name over that actually. But in paragraph one, it starts out with the liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their freedom from the guilt of sin, the condemning wrath of God, the severity and the curse of the law, and in their being delivered from this present evil world, bondage to Satan and dominion of sin, from the evil of afflictions, the fear and sting of death, the victory of the grave and everlasting damnation, as also... in their free access to God and their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear. So we're talking about legalism, But a childlike love and willing mind. I think that's key. Willing mind. Mm-hmm. All which were common also to believers under the law for the substance of them. But under the New Testament of the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of a ceremonial law to which the Jewish church was subjected, and in greater boldness of access to the throne of grace, and in full communications of the free Spirit of God than believers under the law did ordinarily partake of. Basically, like, you have two kind of set things going on here that the gospel does.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel frees you from a fear-based, oh my gosh, if I do something wrong, I'm going to be damned to hell kind of mentality.
Right.
And I think that's where fundamentalism and a lot of fundamentalism plus legalism has really like invaded the church,
mm-hmm.
and has been kind of status quo for, I would say, I don't know, I would say 50, 60 plus years, I would say.
Yep.
And especially in North America. So I think we're starting to figure out, at least in certain spheres of reformedom, that, and I think the first kind of OGs to do this was James Montgomery Boyce's church, 10th, I think it was 10th Avenue. Was it 10th Avenue Presbyterian? Is that the name of his church?
I believe that that's what it was.
So they came up with something that my local church uses called the Gospel Welcome. And the Gospel Welcome basically says, hey, you're coming in to our church, and we want to welcome you with the welcoming, with the welcome of King Jesus. Well, what does that welcome of King Jesus look like? The welcome of King Jesus means that you come in here. Some of you sin and are looking for a savior. Some of you are mourning and longing to rejoice. Some of you are just beat up. You're weak and you're looking for strength. And it goes, this is a very addended version, but basically for those of you who are kind of like what Jesus says, come onto me, all of you who are laden and heavy, or who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Kind of that mentality, right. Basically saying that what you're looking for in church is not an anecdote. We're not going to give you an anecdote. We're going to give you the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus is the ally to his enemies. He's the justifier of all of those who have done things that are inexcusable. And he's the friend of sinners. And he comes to you because he died in our place for our sins on the cross to forgive us of those things. And he welcomes you today because we are his church and we welcome you. We open our doors and welcome you with that welcome of King Jesus.
Right.
So it goes something like that. That is a very different attitude and mindset versus legalism and fundamentalism, which says you screwed up. You better do your darndest to start obeying things and get in line with the law.
Right.
And like the 1689 says, we are not bound to certain ceremonial. We're not. Well, right there. But under the New Testament, the liberty of Christians is further enlarged in their freedom from the yoke of a ceremonial law.
Mm-hmm.
So we aren't like the Levites anymore here.
Right. Right.
We don't go into the Lord's Day purifying ourselves, doing all those things, ceremonial law, to go into the Lord's Day service to meet with God.
Right.
That's... Now, there could be some other questions as far as like, what do you wear and stuff like that. But I think there's a lot of liberty to where that goes, especially where people are at least financially to a certain effect, and just what the culture of your church is.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So there's, I mean, liberty expands to everything. We're not just only talking about like, how much do I drink? How much do I smoke cigars? We're talking about like, what should I wear to a Lord's Day, like there's a certain liberty there as well too.
Yeah.
That I think people don't think about sometimes, or even just like, I don't know, out of this last like COVID, you know, season, it's like, do I mask? Do I not mask? Are people going to condemn me if I don't, or if I do, or if I, you know, get vaccines, or if I don't get vaccines. It's like, I think there's a freedom of liberty there and choice,
right?
Because you're trying to operate the best you can off of the data that you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And look, I mean, differing consciences, depending on those things, right? Alcohol, cigars, what you wear, things like that, right? They're still bound by the law of scripture, right? Mm-hmm. None of us are saying, oh, you know, this is a matter of, you know, it's a conscience matter of whether or not you get drunk. Well, no, scripture speaks about getting drunk, right?
Yeah, that would be a sin. Words. Yeah,
right.
That's absolutely
so
true.
So one of the arguments against, you know, kind of the liberty of conscience understanding or theology is those type of arguments will come up. It's like, well, God told us not to get drunk, so don't drink alcohol. It's like, well, correct, right? Mm-hmm. But like, you can take that train of thought and that argumentation and put it into almost anything, right? It's like, well, God, you know, the scripture says don't be slothful, so don't have any chairs in your house, right? Again, that's the Phharisee-ism coming along. It's like, well, here's the principle. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get close to it, so let's build fences around it, right? And what you end up doing is you create law. You create law where we are not the lawgivers, right? What we need to understand, and this is what paragraph 2 in the 1689, and again, it's very helpful, speaks of, is that the Lord alone is the Lord of the conscience, right? Mm-hmm. Paragraph 2 says, God alone is the Lord of the conscience, and he has left it free from human doctrines and commandments that are in any way contrary to his word or not contained in it. So, believing such doctrines or obeying such commands out of conscience is a betrayal of true liberty of conscience. So what that's saying there is, if you are creating a doctrine or a law that is not found in scripture, you are duty bound as a Christian to not obey that law, mm-hmm. right? It says requiring implicit faith or absolute and blind obedience destroys liberty of conscience and, get this, reason as well. It's illogical, right? Because, again, when you start making these laws that go contrary to scripture, right, it is illogical and it's unbiblical. And Christians are duty bound to not follow it, right? And it cites James chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. Mm-hmm. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Romans 14, 4, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. If he is upheld for the Lord, and if he is upheld for the Lord is able to make him stand, right? There's countless others that are here.
Yeah.
The point is this, right? As we interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ that have differing consciences than we do when it comes to things like cigars, alcohol, music, movies, things like this, right? We are called to hold each other accountable with the principles of Scripture, mm-hmm. not the fences that we put around those principles,
yeah.
right? So, the principle is to not get drunk, okay? Hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And don't get drunk.
Yeah.
The principle is to not be bound or mastered by anything. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself needing certain things and you're mastered by it, maybe it's time to have a conversation. And you know what's ironic, Jack? And this is going to ruffle some feathers, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have found it ironic. Mm-hmm. That the same people who will use this type of argumentation about not being mastered by anything as the reason for completely abstaining from things like cigars or alcohol or certain types of music are the same kind of people that need their coffee in the morning. Otherwise, they are raging.
Sure. Yeah.
If you are dependent on anything, including your coffee, you got to be very careful with this principle.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you need something to keep you level, and it's coffee or it's alcohol, I would say either way you're breaking that mandate. But we don't want to be consistent, and that's where that is where the breaking of not only the conscience but also reason as well comes in. Is you can't be consistent.
Yeah.
If we start building these fences, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to be biblical, uphold the principle, and have grace with our brothers and sisters that differ from us in those things. Now, yeah. I do think it's a responsibility of us, Jack, to not flaunt our Christian liberties, right?
Yeah.
It, scripture speaks of the weaker brother, right? There are times in your life where you are called to set aside your Christian liberty for a moment in order to love and serve your brother, right? So if I have someone coming over to my house and my church that I know is struggling with alcohol, I'm not going to serve alcohol at dinner. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. That would be unloving of me to do toward my brother or sister in Christ, right? Now, does that mean that I'm going to abstain completely from it, like in my own life? No, I don't think that's the principle. Mm-hmm. The principle is loving your brother,
yeah,
in that specific scenario, right?
Yeah, there's been a scenario where I've actually had to do that, to where mm-hmm. he wouldn't want to make a big deal of it, to be like, if we were at a restaurant, I really don't like drink all that much.
No, you
anymore,
don't. I can attest to that. You don't really at all.
I'm trying to remember when the last time like I was even thinking about doing this. Maybe it was like when I moved back to Tacoma and he visited me. But
moving back to Tacoma would drive me to drink. Yeah.
That's true.
Kitty, sorry. It was right there. I had to hit it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. But like his family, there was like a line of alcoholism. And so for yeah. me as his Christian brother, it'd just be like, hey, it's like, you know what? I'm going to abstain and not drink in front of you or do anything like that. Even mm-hmm. though he would say like, I'm not tempted. I think it's still wise in a
Absolutely.
Way in which you shouldn't partake in front of them. So
well, and yeah. and it's self-sacrificing, right? It's yeah. putting others before us, right?
Yeah.
It's putting our brothers and sisters above ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. It's very unloving to know that someone struggles with something and you still, well, I'm free in Christ, so I'm gonna just flaunt this in front of you. That would be an unloving thing to do, right?
Yeah.
But it is, I think, equally unloving for those that are struggling in those things. Mm-hmm. Right? To expect everyone that's around them to abstain personally because they are struggling. Okay? Yeah. Because here's the thing. R.C. Sproul put out a great sermon called The Tyranny of the Weaker Brother, in which he speaks of this principle. And he says in this sermon, like, one of the dangers of overextending this principle in Scripture, which is a good principle that we're called to live by, but overextending it, is you begin to have a church, a body that is revolving and working around the weakness of the brother.
Yeah.
Instead of the expectation of that verse, Jack, is that in the moment that brother is weak, but the expectation is that brother becomes strong. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, that might not mean that that brother drinks alcohol again, but yeah. it means that that brother is able to be around people and be with people and not be overcome with temptation because of the things that they've struggled with, right? Because yeah. we're not supposed to live in perpetual temptation. Mm-hmm. We have the Holy Spirit residing within us. It gives us the ability to be able to overcome these things and be freed from the yoke of bondage through the power of Christ, yeah. right? That's the expectation. Now, that takes time, and that yeah. takes takes love and patience and graciousness, and it's worth doing, but the expectation is that. Right. And I think what individuals who use the weaker brother argument to advocate for a perpetual state of abstinence in those things, what they don't realize is that they are actually contributing to the weakness of that brother. Mm-hmm. And they are holding him down and telling him, no, you're weak. You're weak in this. Stay weak. Right.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the time to disciple, come alongside and make that brother strong, mm-hmm. right? So that's part of that concept that I think is really important to understand, is that we are called to self-sacrifice our liberty in those times of weakness, but also seek the maturity and the strength for that individual that is struggling, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had a great conversation with one of our church members. We got breakfast on Saturday, and we were talking about this, you know, a little bit. And he's one that, because of his past, right? He abstains from alcohol and, you know, and things like that. He's not at all tempted by it. Like, it's not something that he struggles. He just knows, like, he doesn't need another vice, right? You know what I'm saying? And I told him, I'm like, man, like, the way that you approach this, I really appreciate, is because he doesn't lord it over people. It's not something that he's tempted by. It's just something that he knows, like, you know, I've got kind of an addictive personality. I'm not saying never, but right now I just don't need it. I don't want it. So I'm just going to abstain. You know, that's so healthy to have that type of mentality, to know the things that you struggle with, but also have grace with your brothers and sisters, right? And what we were talking about is the importance of, if that conviction ever, you know, what I told him, I said, you know what? I 100% support you in that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I want to come alongside you in, because I think the mentality and the motives that you have are excellent, right? Yeah. And something that we talked about is this, Jack, is something that I told him too, is if those convictions ever change, and they might, you know, the convictions I have now are not the convictions I had 10 years ago, and they're not going to be the convictions I have 10 years from now. If those convictions ever change, they should be done in the context of community, so that we have our brothers and sisters around us knowing, oh, hey, you know, this is where this person is at. So we're all holding each other accountable with the principle. Right. I think that's really, really important, and kind of a piece that I think is not often talked about, is the importance of the local church when it comes to the discussion of Christian convictions and the liberty of conscience.
Yeah. There's just there's many different ways that you can go about that, too. I think that there needs to be as well. Some putting down of the foot, by your elders in certain situations. So it really goes into, if you're having a church sanctioned event, probably do not want to have alcohol and cigars in the church building, unless you're Joe, who has his office in the church building. And I think he smokes in there. There's just things that, like, you, that hopefully, like, your elders and your deacons are knowing that, like, that should not be within our midst, because sometimes at certain, like, church events or something like that, I've had it before, to where, now granted, this was Mars Hill days, but I think an elder like drank too much at a church event.
Oh gosh.
And got drunk, and he was put on discipline for that. And I feel like the bad part of that is, like, and this is where I disagree too with a lot of the things that we did, Marcel. But one of them was just, like, when somebody's put on church discipline, like, that never came up. It was just, like, in the foreground, and nobody talked about it. But then all of a sudden, like, it would come, like, come up like 4 or 5 months later, and it's like, oh, I was on church discipline for this. I'm like, hold up, we're members of this church. Why did we not know you were on church discipline? Like, what is going on here? Like, now, like, oh yeah, dude, like, we know they're, when they're member meetings, like, we know who is being disciplined by the church and what's going on, and how do we need to pray and how do we need to go about this. So yeah, there's big differences in that, and I think there's big differences between liberty of the conscience, and, like we talked about, and pushing the envelope too much to where that goes into the territory of sin.
So
I would say also be wise when it comes to how you utilize, hopefully, your church's facilities.
And, oh, for sure. Like, for sure.
And like, not taking that liberty so far to where you think that you can just do whatever you want, you know, in that capacity.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I know there's going to be some people that disagree with that, you know, and, like, that's a, you know, it's a conversation to be had for sure. But the point we're making is that we should be looking out for one another in all areas of this, We're called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means coming alongside, right? But it's not with our understanding of what is good or what is right. It's with what Scripture says, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're discussing this, you know, how do I interact with, you know, this person, you know, they smoke cigars and I don't like that. Well, this person drinks alcohol. I don't like that. This Christian listens to non-Christian music and I think they should only listen to Christian music. That's my conviction. Okay. If that's where the Lord has you, then good, right? But we have to understand that if there is a biblical principle mm-hmm. that is not that is being broken, then yes, we must say something. And yeah. We must come alongside one another.
Yeah.
But if there is not a biblical principle that is there, and it is a matter of conscience, then we must be very, very careful as Christians yeah. to not create our own law, right, that we place on the same level as Scripture. And it's very easy to do.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this way, like we have a deacon who does a lot of Bible studies and he's in actually my community group, but we talk a lot about Scripture. Guys, like you can make Scripture say anything that you want to. Like yeah, if you're that weird and want to make it say something that it yeah. doesn't actually say, like you can make that do that. And for instance, this is a classic to where I think legalists would come back and try and clap back at folks who talk about Christian liberty like us, is the appearance of evil,
right?
Kind of scriptures. And honestly, though, like if let's say for instance, you were like having wine with somebody, mm-hmm. it's like, how is that the appearance of evil though?
Right.
So you really have to, this goes back to even like paragraph 2 of what Josh talked about, of like the logic of these things. You know, people talk about, a lot of legalists talk about like, well, you can't go into a bar and you can't do this and you can't do that because of the appearance of evil, so to say. It's like, well, you could do that. Like people can say the appearance of evil and just kind of like blanket statement that anywhere and anything that you do,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, I might confess that I speed. Is that the appearance of evil? Like where's the threshold here on the appearance of evil stuff? So yeah. that even goes back to what the principles, like we talked about, like, yes, there's a definite absolute principle behind things, and when we say don't get drunk and we're keeping each other in accountability and I see you start to slur your words and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, you might need to stop right now.
And so. can I say something on that too, because that mm-hmm. is, I agree, it's a very common verse that's used, right? And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where it says to abstain from every form of evil, or some translations abstain from the appearance of all evil, right? This is where context is king, right? And the hermeneutic, if someone's going to take that verse and apply it to this, is the same hermeneutic that would take the resist the devil and he will flee when it comes to sexual temptation, mm-hmm. right? And that the context of that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where it says abstain from every form of evil, is actually, it's not Paul talking about conscience or you know, matters of conscience that we're talking about. It's him talking about false doctrine, right? He's specifically talking about truth claims, prophecies, doctrines, spiritual principles. There's a great article because it sparked my memory when you said it.
Yeah.
From Ligonier.org, and then just one of the chapters here, it says, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is specifically talking about truth claims, prophecies, doctrines, and spiritual principles. Verse 22 is actually last in a series of closely related commands. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil, right? So we have to be very careful when we use these cherry-picked verses as almost gotcha statements. Go yeah. back to the context. What is the context? Yeah. Paul is speaking about false doctrine mm-hmm. when he uses that term, right? So let's be fair, right? And let's be good at hermeneutics and actually look at what is scripture saying in the context of what it's saying, and be very careful not to be lazy Christians, because that's often what happens, is we'll hear these cherry picked things, but if you go back to the context, it doesn't apply to the situation, right? So let's just be very careful with that. But Jack, there's a lot more than can be said, and this is a topic that's ever, I think, important to bring up, right?
Oh yeah,
because it's something that's in front of us all the time. Mm-hmm. We're always talking about it, and we're always dealing with it, right? And we have to be gracious and humble in our approach, not flaunt our liberties, but also, like we said, don't revolve the health of your church around the weaker brother. Come alongside that weaker brother and help make them strong, right?
Yep.
That's the point. That's what we should be doing in these conversations, right? And as long as we're humble and open and we're willing to engage in dialogue with scripture being the foundation of our truth, not our opinion, not our interpretation, but what does scripture actually say? The principles of scripture, these discussions will go well. And everyone will be edified. The church will be strengthened, and we will, at the end of the day, look more like Christ. Even if our consciences look different, and our decisions look different, and our lives look different, that's the beauty of the gospel. Is it's applied to everyone individualistically. Yeah. We're not clones. Everyone deals with different things. Everyone is more mature in some areas and less mature in other areas, and that's the church. That's what it means to live together in harmony, is we're constantly sacrificing ourselves, putting others before us, and building each other up. Mm-hmm. And when we understand the liberty of conscience and that the Lord alone is the Lord of the conscience, it goes really well. And it's a blessing to see, right? So, Jack, my friend, I think we're going to start violating people's consciences if we go much longer. But it's been 2 weeks, okay? Cut us some slack, right? We got to get the engines warmed up. It's what needs to happen, right? But Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's conversations when it comes to Christian liberty or other topics in regards to and in the context of your local church, you can follow us some more and engage with us on the sociables, if you will. You can drop us a DM, a question, maybe a... I know a lot of our episodes, I feel like the last few have been strictly off of Podluck or other listener ideas.
Yeah.
So that's been really good. So you can drop us a line to do, like, maybe you got like an itching topic and you want us to take it on and try and give it the old college try. Like I said, you can follow us at the Sociables, drop us a DM, a question, episode ideas on the Facebook, the Metaverse, if you will. Instagram goes well with chocolate or marshmallow. Or you can find us on the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. And then our tag is all of those sociable platforms at Reformatory Pod. And Josh, you can tell the people how they might support us and see our ugly mugs on other platforms.
That's right. That's right. Well, how you can do that is pretty simple. You can head on over to YouTube, right? And we have a YouTube channel. And like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. We post the video version of this podcast up on there. You can leave us a like and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I believe. Really would appreciate that. That's awesome. And you can do what Reform Samurai did. That's right. We're bringing it back. You can join the Podluck. Exclusive content for a $5 holla. You get bonus eps, reformatory chat, all episodes early. A lot of fun stuff happening over at the Reformatory Podluck. And if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.